Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Well, good morning. It's wonderful to have you all here on this Sunday. I don't know about you, but that which Andy said was so powerful. And I really want you to write that down, pray through that, because I had the weirdest experience. Now, I'm sitting there, and as she's saying those words, I had a wind come over me from that side, and there's no fans on that side, blowing over my hands. I'm like, God. And then she said it, God's angels here, and the angels of God is like winds of God. So be aware that God's angels are here to minister to you today what God has said and to establish His kingdom within your life. Amen. So, Father, we thank You for the presence of Your angels to minister to us and to bless us. In Jesus' name. Okay, this morning it's my turn to preach again. Andries and them are on away a bit to their family, so they're having a break. They will be back in the week. So I'm just have the opportunity and the privilege to share with you what the Lord wants to say to us as a church. But before we start, I want to ask you, who of you likes to be depressed every day? Who of you likes to wake up sad about life? Who of you are sad about South Africa at the moment? One, two people, okay? We all are sad and depressed, not good. But you know what? In the week, I read a scripture where I thought, God, this is how You see South Africa at the moment. It says in Psalm 2 that God sits in the heavens and He laughs at the nations. God laughs at the chaos of South Africa because He's in control, amen? He's ruling and reigning over this nation and His will be done in South Africa, amen? So this morning, I want to just share with you some joy because laughter is like medicine for us. Amen? And in this current situation, I think let's speak a bit of life and a bit of hope into our situation. So I want to share with you two stories. So just, if you're a visitor, just enjoy these. After having dug to a depth of 10 meters last year, a U.S. scientist has found traces of copper wire dating back to 100 years. He came to the conclusion that their ancestors already had a telephone network more than 100 years ago. Not to be outdone by the American scientist, an Australian archaeologist in the weeks to follow dug to a depth of 20 meters. Shortly after this, the headlines in the Sydney newspaper read, Australian archaeologists have found traces of 200-year-old copper wire and have concluded that their ancestors already had advanced high-tech communication networks 100 years earlier than the U.S., so a bit of bragging between the two nations. But 1 week later, a local newspaper from South Africa reported the following. After digging to a depth of 30 meters on a 100-hectare farm, Kuis Bota, a self-taught archaeologist, reported that he found absolutely nothing. Kuis therefore concluded that 300 years ago, South Africa already gone wireless. So we in Africa, we are wireless. Amen? Maybe there's a prophetic word for telecom and their fiber. Let's go wireless. I'm going to share with you one more. This is my best one. It's my funniest one for today. One day, our teacher asked us about what our favorite animal was. And I said to her, fried chicken. She said, I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everyone in my class laughed. My parents told me to always be honest and truthful, and I am. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad and what happened, and he said, ach, your teacher probably was a member of animal welfare because they love animals very much. But I do too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened, and he laughed too. Then he told me not to do it again. The next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was, and I told her it was chicken. She asked me why, just like she asked all the other children. So I told her because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. He laughed and told me not to do it again. So I don't understand. My parents told me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I'm honest. Today, my teacher asked us again to tell us what our favorite, our most famous person is we admire. And I told her, Colonel Sanders. Guess where I'm now. back in the headmaster's office. So today we're going to have some fried chicken stories today. No, but before I get kicked out of this place, let's get serious and share what's on the Lord's heart for this morning. And I want you to open your Bibles with me to the Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We will read a little story there of the Passover meal, what Jesus said. He says in verse 14, when the time had come, Jesus and his apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he looked up. Then he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it and broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then verse 20 is my verse for the morning. It says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. He took the cup after supper and saying, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with you through the shedding of my blood. God, this morning I want to talk to us about living on the right side of the cross of Jesus Christ by embracing certain New Testament resurrection realities which Jesus gave us. And a few weeks ago, as I was praying and reading scripture, this story jumped to me, but especially here, verse 20. And I read it, you know, and we've all read the story of the Passover, and we're on our way to celebrate Easter. But this verse 20 jumped to me, and these words about the bread and the wine stuck with me. Because I always had like this religious idea of communion. You know, we just take the bread and it's symbolic, you know, and some people believe it's symbolic, other people believe it's actually the physical blood and body of Jesus Christ. When you eat it, it's that. In this whole church history argument. But verse 20 jumped to me about the significance of how Jesus gave us his blood. And I don't know if this ever happened to you when you read scripture and a verse jumped to you. Who has had that experience before? And I think, you know, most of us, and we call that a rhema word of God. You know, this Bible and your Bible is called the Logos. It's a written word of God. But when God highlights something you do, it's God's rhema word. It's his word for now for you in this certain circumstance. And I want to encourage you, when you do that, please stop and start asking God, God, what are you saying to me? What are you talking to me? That's what I've done with this verse. And say, Jesus, you've said that you've given us your body in remembrance, but you've also given us your blood. Yes, not only for protection and all that, but to establish and to usher in a new reality of life for each and every one of us. I'm like, God, what does this mean? And so what I realized was the following, that Jesus' death on the cross was not only just to forgive me of my sins. It was to also establish a new covenant with me and with you. I'm called to live in that reality of resurrected life every single day. And after I've been thinking about this for a few weeks, you know, I realized that most Christians and myself are still living on the wrong side of the cross. We are viewing what God has done for us from a wrong perspective. We only relate to the cross of Christ for forgiveness of sins. And so after thinking about this, I came across a few wrong beliefs or a few wrong symptoms, you can call it, of how people live on the wrong side of the cross. And I want to mention to you three, and maybe listen carefully to these three beliefs, because maybe they are where you are. And I want to encourage you that God wants to show these things because he wants you to start living in the life he's given you already in Christ. Amen? And the first one of these is found in the way we pray and speak to God. We will pray things like, God, if it's your will, please heal Peter. He's suffering so much. Please, God. We will pray things like, God, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Please help me, Lord. Or we'll pray, God, rain in the heavens and come down so that Africa needs God. Or we'll pray things like, God, please go with me to this business meeting. I really need you. Or I will say things like, God, you will not share your glory with another. Or we will say things like, God is angry with me and therefore he's going to judge me today. And we say these things and we pray these things without thinking what we're saying or or listening to ourselves. And God is like, what are you saying? What are you praying? I'm not on that page anymore. Something happened in history called the cross of Christ. And if we go through this list, I want to ask you, what is wrong with these prayers? What is wrong with these statements that we use so often? First of all, if you pray, God, if it's your will to be healed, Peter, what is wrong with that statement? The gospel shows us that Christ came to heal the sick. Amen. He came to heal and to set the captives free. So if he wants to do it, we must pray the revealed will of God from now on. It's not an if, it's when and how God heals. Amen. So we must change the way we pray. It is God's will to heal. Amen. Jesus models that for us in the scriptures. So that is the right side of the cross, not this one. God, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, help me. What is wrong with that prayer? We're no longer sinners, amen? When you accepted Christ in life, what happened in your life? You became a holy one in Christ. You became a son of, daughter of God. Something changed in reality to your life. So when you come to God, you're no longer a sinner saved by grace. No, you're a saint walking in grace. We must change our minds. Amen. There's a good hallelujah. Go again, go again, go again. Let's give her a hand. Amen. The little girl. Oh God, render the heavens and come down. And last time I preached, I taught us that God already opened the heavens above us. He already rendered the heavens when Christ was baptized and rose. And God said, send his voice to the heavens and say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. God already opened the heavens. Revival is already here. God, please go with me to that business meeting. Please, God, go with me in this day. What is wrong with that mindset, that prayer? What did Jesus say? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we don't pray, God, if God, thank you, God, you're with me. Thank you for boldness for my meeting. Thank you that through you I have wisdom for this day because you are here right beside me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Read Psalm 32 earlier today. God is with us. The greatest revelation man can have. He's God Emmanuel with you. Amen? Let's become presence aware, like he said last time. Or we say, God will not share his glory with another. What is wrong with that? You are his body, and he's already shared his glory with you. Romans 3 says, for all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. Through living in sin, through Adam, we were separated from God's glory. But in Christ, we share his glory. Amen? Because we're his body. Amen? That's the Old Testament reference. God is angry with me. He's going to judge me. No. God is not angry with you. God rejoices over you. He loves you. Amen? You already judge your sin on the cross of Christ. He's inviting you into friendship with him, to love him, to walk with him every single day. We must change the way we see the cross, people. Something happened through the cross of Christ. So when we pray these things, it reveals to us that we are still living on the wrong side of the cross and not in the New Testament realities that Jesus gave to us. Amen? Are we still all with me? The second symptom which I found out is the following. It says, people who live on the wrong side of the cross, they only see the cross as an instrument of forgiveness, and thus they live continually in cycles of failure. We live in cycles of bondage the whole time. And these people will come to the cross and say, Jesus, based on my righteousness, based on my lack and my brokenness, please, would you forgive me? And you know what? God in his mercy, he will forgive you. And then the people, they feel better about themselves, and they go on with life, and they feel strong, just until they fall into sin again. Or they struggle with that old habit again. Then they crawl back to God and say, God, I beg you, please forgive me of that wrong I did. And this cycle continues forever and ever in people's lives. And we as pastors counsel the people over and over again until we blue in the face until there's no victory in their lives. Because we only see the cross as instrument of forgiveness. So please, guys, this morning, don't misunderstand me. The cross is absolutely an instrument of forgiveness. And whenever you need forgiveness, you can go to God any time of the day and ask him, and he will do it because he's a merciful, merciful God. Amen? That is the truth. For scripture says in Proverbs 24 verse 16, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will get up again. When you need forgiveness, you can go to God and he will cleanse you. But I'm convicted that the cross of Christ, there's more to the cross of Jesus than just forgiveness of sins. There's more to what God has done for us just to forgiving our cycles of failure over and over and over again.
I believe we need a different understanding of the cross because Jesus said he came to give us life and life in abundance. He said he came to give us life and life in abundance. So there's got to be something more radical. There's got to be something more transformational in the New Testament that Christ has given to us than just maybe managing our sins or just surviving day to day in the struggle against sin and darkness. That is the second one. The first one is how we speak and pray. The second one is how we are continually in the cycle of sin, never getting out. And the last one I found is that people who live on the wrong side of the cross is people who hold a greater sin consciousness than a God consciousness. You hold a greater sin consciousness than a God consciousness. And this means you're more aware of your sins, your shortcomings, and your failures than God's presence and His love and His mercy for you. And you see, we constantly wrestle against flesh and sin and temptation. Or if you continually are condemned by sin and shame and an unclean heart or guilty feelings, then you can know that you have not actually come into the full work that Christ has given you. And I'm not saying that any of us can't be parked in that journey with God in that place. All of us go through seasons in our lives when we do struggle with things. But if that is your destination, where you stay with God, then you can know something is wrong. You haven't come into the full work of the cross yet. And so living on the wrong side of the cross is all about continual denying yourself and working for greater discipline and managing your sins better. And we all have been there. And I think if that was the only thing that Jesus did for us, then I want to ask you, was it worth it for Him to suffer so much and to be punished so much for us just so that me and you can manage our sins better? I don't think so. I want to ask you, do you think that these symptoms in any way reveal the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ? What do you think? No. I don't believe in any way these things, how we live on the wrong side of the cross, reveal in any way the glory of the cross of Jesus. There has to be something more transformational that Christ left us to live a victorious life. Amen? And Paul said here in Galatians, where am I now? In Galatians 6 verse 14, he says, "But far be it from me that to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And what Paul is saying is, he says, guys, there is a glory within the cross of Jesus. There's something more in the cross of Christ that has got the power to change your position and change your nature within this world. There's a glory in the cross. He said, this world has been crucified to me and I've been crucified to this world. What does it mean to be crucified? Because you're dead. This world has become dead to me and I dead to this world. And the cross of Christ did that to me. Something changed within Paul's life. In other words, Paul is saying here, the cross of Christ is not a place of just managing our sins, but rather it's a place of power and a place of transformation. Amen? And so guys, if we truly understand that the cross is a finished work of Christ, then we won't play around with our sins anymore. Then we won't have a wrong mentality of the cross anymore. Amen? Jesus, when he was on the cross, when they gave him that sour wine to drink, what did he do? He said, "It is finished." Blew out his last breath, and he died. He said, "It is finished." Something changed. This is the glory of God that it means that you can change. And so this morning, I want to ask us to please let's reverse these symptoms of living on the wrong side of the cross and start to live on the right side of the cross. And you see, people who live on the right side of the cross, they have got a greater God consciousness than a sin consciousness. Amen? People living on the right side has got a greater God consciousness. People on the left-hand side has got a greater sin consciousness. A big difference. Now, these people on the right side live more aware of His presence with them, what His love for them, than for darkness, the sin, the flesh, and failure. And living, and I want to tell you, living on the right, long side of the cross, I've lived there for a very long time in my life, and it's a terrible place. It's an awful place to live at. By remaining in the cycles of sin and viewing God just as forgiving my sins and please, Lord, forgive my sins, and that's all it is. With no victory in my life. It's a terrible, horrible place where you seek a demon after every bush. And we glorify Satan so much that God is nowhere to be found in our lives. But people who live right with God has got a greater God consciousness of what God can do in and through us. Because the Bible says, church, that Satan is under our feet. Let's keep him there. Let's stamp on his head. Amen. So the question beckons this morning is, how do we live on the right side of the cross? How do we live on the right side of the cross? This for me was a radical, radical, radical revelation I got the last few days, because this is like, God, it feels like I got saved again. But the way we do it is simply is by changing our belief system. It's changing the way you believe. You see, living on the right side of the cross simply happens when you and I start to believe in a few resurrected realities that Scripture says God has given us through Jesus. And when you do believe them, they will transform and change the reality that you live in. That is the absolute truth. Now, some of you might laugh and say, Yaku, don't be ridiculous. How can saying and believing only a few words change my world? Well, let me tell you this. There's a lady in this room. And 10 years ago, me and she went to an altar call. An altar. And there, I said only two words to her. I do. And it changed my whole world. It changed my whole world. It changed how I live. It changed what I wear. It even changed my man cave, guys. And the worst of all is, pink was introduced into my life. Now I've got 3 pink boda in my life. I said 2 words, believing them. It changed my life. And guys, if that can happen in the natural with human beings, how much more? Well, how much more can happen when we make a covenant with God, who is full of love, full of power, who never leaves us nor forsake us, and who keeps his promises? So words do change our lives. Amen? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit, good or bad. Many of us curse ourselves and say negative things, and we are living in that reality. But start saying the positive, the right, the biblical, the correct. See what happens with your life. So living on the right side of the cross is just through faith in what Christ has done for you. And it's so essential to live a victorious life. Amen. So next, I want to quickly look at 3 New Testament realities which you and I need to believe in order to live on the right side of the cross. And the first one here is found in Romans chapter 6. And it says here in verse 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin in order that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Verse 5 and 6 says, since we have been united with him in his death. Verse 6, for we know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Write this down. The first power belief that you must have to live on the right of the cross is the following, that Christ not only died for you, but Christ died as you. Christ not only died for you, Christ died as you. And guys, if you forget anything today, remember this one statement. It will change your life as you change mine. Christ only died for you, Christ died as you. What do I mean by that? Galatians 2, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Come on. This is the power and the glory of the cross of Jesus. The power of being crucified with the risen Christ. Amen? This is the glory of the cross. So not only did Jesus die with me, for me, but he died with me. Paul said, it's no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Say that with me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You have died. You have died with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 14 says, for the love of God compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. How powerful is that? What these scriptures say, guys, is the fact that Christ dying on the cross was not only an alone act he did on himself. It was actually a mass murder. It was a mass murder. Paul said there, if one died for all, then all died. The cross was a mass murder. You died with him. He didn't die only for you. He died as you. You died with him. You were crucified with Christ. This is so powerful. You see, Jesus didn't die just for me. He died as me to forgive me my sins, to release me from the power of sin, and to give me hope of a new life. The cross gives us hope for a new life. Amen? Hope for a new life. Then Romans 6 verse 3, it says, it goes on and it says, we've also been united with him in death and burial through baptism. We've also been united with him in his burial through baptism. Not only did you die with him, he was begraven met hom. And why is baptism so important? It's because it is your funeral service, guys. It is your funeral service. It is your closure of saying, goodbye, old man. Goodbye. You are dead now. You see, as long as that body is on the table, it can still be resuscitated. But when you go, we put it in the ground, we know it is finished. The old man is, cheers, goodbye. It's your closure service. So through baptism, we identify with the burial of Christ, saying, not only did I die with Christ, but I was also buried with him. The old man is dead. It is finished. It is done away with. And baptism, guys, is such an important event in your life. And like Naomi said earlier, I want to encourage you, if you want to be baptized, tell us. It's such a powerful act of obedience and identification with what Jesus did for you. It will transform your life. Amen? Don't postpone it. Rather do it. But here comes the good news, which Paul goes on to say. He says, listen here, not only was your baptism a funeral service, wait a minute, he also said it is your resurrecting celebration. Baptism is not only a death, it's also a resurrection. And for too long, we've only focused on, oh, I died with Christ, it's so honorable and so wonderful, and we don't realize that Jesus rose from the dead, and you've rose with him from the dead. It's a celebration of life. Romans 6 verse 4 says, listen to these words. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death. The funeral service, the closure service. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, say even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Hallelujah. This is amazing news. In other words, church, not only did you die with Christ, but you were also raised up with him into newness of life. That is awesome. That is the good news of the cross. There is hope beyond the grave. You see, but here lies the problem with most Christians. This is a big one. Here lies the problem with most Christians, that we live on the wrong internal clock regarding God's timing. You live on the wrong clock. The wrong internal clock. You've got the wrong time. And now all of us have experienced the embarrassment of being late for a meeting. We've all been shamed by being late because our watches told us the meeting is at 10 and the meeting was actually at 9:30. It's not a nice thing. And therefore, living on the wrong clock with God is also a horrible thing. And you will miss out on life abundance. But living with the wrong clock means a falling that you live with a present tense reality with sin and a future tense reality with resurrection. I'm going to say that again. Living on the wrong clock with God means you have a present tense reality with sin and a future tense reality with resurrection. And when you do that, you will always believe that you must always struggle in sin because sin is part of who I am and sin is I'm a sinful nature. I come from Adam and I'm a sinful person. If you live with the present tense reality of sin, that will always be your reality. But if you live also with the future tense resurrection reality, then you will always have the hope of, you know, one day I will just be, whooped, taken away. And it'll all be better. But until then, I must just hang in there and pray harder and keep on doing the good things for God because those who suffer to the end, they will be saved. But if you listen to those words, for me, I don't think that sounds like the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. By struggling through sin and hoping to be rescued out of the sinful pool one day, that's not the life that God has promised us. And I'm not saying here that we never will experience temptation and failure in our lives. No, I'm not saying that. And I'm definitely not preaching a doctrine of selfless perfection. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to say is that Jesus didn't die on the cross just to forgive your sins. But rather, he came to restore your relationship with God, to cleanse you and to free you from the power of sin. That's so much more. Amen? So write this down. Jesus died for us is the forgiveness of sins. Jesus died as us is the freedom from sins. Jesus died for you is the forgiveness of sins. That is absolutely the truth. But there's more. He died as you for the freedom from sins. The raised to life into newness of life. That's the glory of the cross, people. This was always in God's heart for us to be free from the power of sin so that we can live the resurrected life He gave us. Amen? So Scripture makes it clear that we're supposed to live with a past tense relationship with sin and a present tense relationship with resurrection. Amen? You guys get the difference? On the wrong side, you live with a present tense in sin and future in reality. On the right side of God, you live with a past tense of sin. God has dealt with it. And I'm living currently in the resurrection power of Christ because I'm raised with Him. That is so important. That's such a big shift in our prayer life, in the way we see ourselves. Therefore, it is vital that morning you reset your internal clock towards God's clock. Amen? It's so important. So why is it important for sin to be a past tense? Well, it's because that is no longer who you are in Christ. Listen to this verse. I found it about 3 weeks ago. It's like, God is amazing. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Just read these words with me. It says the following. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. So stop there. So if you see Jesus, you see the Father. He's the exact expression of the glory of God. That is so powerful. And He sustains everything by His mighty power of His command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand of majesty in heaven. See those words in verse 3. He is going to cleanse you of your sins when you live a good life. Does it say that? I saw them say, Jesus, hallelujah, He has cleansed me of my sins. Jesus has paid the price for me. I'm cleansed of my sins. It is in the past. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm a saint with Jesus. Called to reign with Him in life through the grace He's given me. Amen? That is who you are. Your sins have been forgiven if you are in Christ today. Don't let the enemy lie to you any longer. Oh, Jesus, this is good news. Amen? Amen. He has cleansed us. He has cleansed us. Sin is in the past. Guys, I want to tell you, Jesus is not on a sin mission anymore. He's done it. He's done it. And He wants you to experience the new life He's paid for. Oh, it's just good news. Why is the resurrection so important to be a present tense reality? Because I believe, guys, it's the only way that we are going to live on the right side of the cross. By embracing this new life which is given us. And we read it in Romans 6. It says there that we died with Him. We were raised up with Him. And therefore, resurrection is a present tense reality. Now, understand me clearly. I'm not saying there that the future resurrection is not going to take place. Listen to me. The day is coming. And Paul said in Corinthians, that day is coming. Amen. And you know what? I put in my order there for a new body. I've ordered it. Iron Man suits. It's coming. And you know what? Even worse, my wife has ordered one too for me. I don't hope so, but I think so. The day is coming. But there's a greater reality than tomorrow. It's today. It is, I have been raised with Christ. Amen. That is awesome. So for us, it's very important to start relating to the cross, not only for the forgiveness of sins, but also for freedom. This morning we sang that song. Oh, thank you for what you've done for me. You've set me free so I can be free. Michelin, is that the right words? It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. But this morning, if you need forgiveness, then I want to encourage you. Please come to the cross. Jesus is there. He will forgive you if you ask Him. But listen to me, church, it is time that we start drawing on the resurrected side of the cross. Where there's freedom from the power of sin, to break habits, to break addictions, and to heal the sick. Amen? That is what it is all about. So come on, God is waiting for His church to start walking in resurrection power so we can raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and give God all the glory. That is what Romans 8 says. He's longing for the sons of God to be revealed. Creation is waiting for us to stand up and say, God, but I'm a son of God with the power of God in my life. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. We are called to reign, church. Jesus has given us newness of life. It's new. It's never seen before. That brings you to my second reality which you must believe in, and that is found in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17, it says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a powerful scripture. The second power belief that you must embrace to walk in the right of the cross is this, that I am now a new creation in Christ, and all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ. And when you look at verses in the Bible about new creation, the word new there is very important, very significant. And you can see that with me, that the word new in the Greek is the word kainos. And look at this. It means of a new type, of a new order, of a new variety. New, but it means of a new variety, a new type. Now, this may sound weird or spooky or Star Wars-ish, but all it means, guys, is when you were born again, when your spirit was recreated in Christ, when you believed what Jesus did for you and accomplished in the cross, then you became a brand new person and a new type of created being in Jesus. A new type of created being in Jesus. That is amazing. It means that it never existed before. It is brand new. The other important word for us for today is the word all things in the scripture. And all things is the Greek word archaeos. And it means the ancient things or the things from the beginning. So put these two words together. And it simply means that the state of man, the state that man was originally created in, was done away with through the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul said here that the old things have passed away. The way God used to make man is now, it's the old has passed. The things from the beginning has passed. God is making now a new type of person in the order of Jesus Christ. And here is the goodness of the cross, guys, that you use, me and you, we used to be part of the Adam's family. Yes, that creepy, mysterious family, the picture we saw on that movie. Me and you, we were those creepy things. We were born as humans into the sinful Adamic state and nature. But what happened was, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that we were transferred from the old Adam into the new Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we've become part of the family of God. Amen? That's what God has done for you through Jesus dying on the cross. We used to be like aliens and strangers. We used to be orphans without a father or a mother. But now we've become, through the new Adam, his very own sons and daughters of God. You are a son and a daughter of God. You are more than that. You are now a new creation in Christ. The ancient things has passed away. And not only did God, as a new creation, forgave you, He cleansed you from your sins. No. He also changed your very nature. You know, Peter says that in 2 Peter 1. He says, we are now partakers of the divine nature. You see, God didn't just cover us and say, oh, you're so nice. Here's a new creation blanket for you. Just wear it and all will be fine. And we can throw it off and do our obeah also. No. He came on the inside. And He ripped out the old nature of Adam and said, I want to put my spirit within you. The divine one with a divine nature. He will live inside of you. You will be a new creation that expresses my glory and do what I want to do on the earth. Amen? So God didn't just forgave you. He took away your sinful nature and gave you His divine nature. You see, I meet many Christians, they live a schizophrenic life, thinking that they've got still an old nature living inside of them and talking to them to do things anti-Jesus. But if I'm correct, in Romans 6 says, listen, that man has died. And keep him dead, please. Don't resurrect him. He's dead. You are now a new creation in Jesus. And therefore, you have now become a new type of creation of the order of Christ. You are a new creation. And if you're going to live in this reality, guys, I tell you, you will not struggle in your sins anymore. Because you will view yourself different. is seated with Christ in heavenly places as a new creation, ruling from there to change your world. Amen? The last one I want to share with you that you need to believe in today is found in Romans 5 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. And this one is amazing. Romans 5:17 says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin," note those words, "and death through the one man, Jesus Christ." Let me ask you, you pause here. Does God want us to struggle in our sins forever? He wants us to reign over sin, over death, through the one man, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says, verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the sinners of God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." So the third power belief that you must take for yourself is that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And guys, this is great news, because what it means that you are now accepted to God. You are now accepted to God. Righteousness means basically to have a right standing, a right relationship with God now. Through the old Adam, guess what? You didn't have a right standing with God. Sin, what separated you from God? You were due for the judgment of God. But praise God for his son Jesus, you'd satisfy the wrath of God. Amen? Now you've become the righteousness. You've earned right standing with God through the grace of Jesus. And you are now accepted to him. And the wonderful news about righteousness, it is, like Romans says there, it is a free gift. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. It is just given to you out of the abundance of God's love for you. It is free. And the only way you can receive it is when you are born again from your spirit. When you believe and put your trust in Christ and what he's done for you upon the cross. When you move from the wrong side to the right of the cross and say, "Jesus, I acknowledge the forgiveness of my sins, but now I thank you, God. You've made me right with you, and I thank you for that. Because of that, I can be accepted before you." We all were part of this ugly Adam's family, where death ruled over us and sin separated us. But I want to say thanks be to God. I want to say thanks to God this morning that he made him who knew no sin to become my sin, so that I can become what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made him who was perfect. He made him who was the exact expression of the glory of God to become my sin. He didn't only die for me. He died as me. So that I can become the what? Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Guys, God accepts you. He approves you. He doesn't condemn you anymore. He doesn't judge you anymore. He's there to assist you and help you, to give you life and life in abundance. Can we say amen? Amen, guys. Amen. Easter is coming. We need to celebrate what happened to you through the cross of Christ. We can't be morbid. We have life. We have life. And we share that with Jesus. Thanks be to God who made us right. And guys, this is the wonderful news of the cross. Not only was your sins forgiven on the cross, what took place there was a divine transaction. There was a divine transformation and exchange. My sin for his freedom. My unrighteousness for his unrighteousness. That is the cross. That is the cross. A place of exchange. A place of power. There's glory in the cross. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Amen? I've died to this world so I can live in the resurrected power of Jesus. So living on the right side of the cross this morning, simply embracing your new identity as being right with God. Therefore, you're no longer a sinner, church. Don't pray like a sinner anymore. Don't pray like you're standing miles away from God and say, "God, where are you? Please come to me." No, no, no. He's here right beside you. He is the Parakletos right next to you. Talk to him as if he's your lover. Whisper to him. Speak to him. Open your heart to him. He's right there. He delights in every detail of your life. He delights in every detail of your life. Invite him in. Because you're right with God, guess what? There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil accuse you any longer or condemn you that you're worthless and worth and worth nothing in this life. No, no, no. You are so much worth that Jesus shed his blood for you to give us a new covenant to live in. You are worth it. You are worth the blood of Jesus. His blood demands that we respond to him in worship and say, God, I thank you for what you've done for me. Don't let accusations keep you down. Don't give them any place in your life. And you know what, guys? What is the fruit of righteousness? It is to have boldness before God. It says, when our heart doesn't condemn us before God, we can have boldness before God. Our hearts are cleansed with the blood of Jesus. Keep it that way. Don't let sin. People ask me, now, can I still sin in grace? Of course you can sin if you choose to. God didn't take away our free will. You can still choose. You can still agree with the enemy. And he can still destroy your life through sin in your life, which you have allowed in. But it was never God's heart for you. He gave us his free gift of righteousness so that we can reign in this life with him. Reign in this life with him. So let's have boldness. Let's come before the throne of God with boldness, making our requests known to him, declaring his kingdom to come. Amen? This morning, maybe if you're ashamed and you're shy, God is going to change you. God is going to change you. The new man in Christ is no longer shameful. The new man in Christ is no longer weak or wretched. He's got the power of God in his life to live the life Jesus gave him. Amen? Allow the Holy Spirit to change you on the inside. Because you want to and he can. We can have boldness. So this morning I want to conclude. I want to wrap it up. My voice is going. I'm sorry about that. I'm just excited. Do you know what? The Bible says in Revelation that the angels of God fly around the throne crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What does that mean? Every time they see God, they say, holy. They see so much things of God which I never seen before. They can only say, holy, holy. And that's how I feel at the moment. I feel like, God, I've seen something of you that is so beautiful, that is so God, is going to change my life forever. It's like, God, wow, I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. I'm so sick and tired of living on the wrong side of the cross where I beg for forgiveness and I feel like a worm and miserable and not good enough for God. But now I realize, but Yaku, you are righteous. You are approved. You're accepted in my son. Have boldness. Live. And church, this morning, I really believe that God is inviting you to start living these new covenant realities he gave us. Why is that? Because I believe he wants us to be free. He wants you to be free. Like Andy said this morning, if we are thirsty for God, it's maybe only 1%. I think this morning, if you think you are free, it's only 1% to the measure of the freedom in Christ he wants to give us. Guys, I want to live a free life. I'm so tired of religious constraints and cultural things. I want to be free. Amen? I want to be a true son and daughter of God. And this is what Paul echoed here for me. He expressed this heart of mine here in Galatians 5. He says, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Watch out. Don't allow sin in your life. And do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Verse 13 says, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Church, I want to say to you, you are called to freedom. To serve Christ better and your neighbor among you better. Can we say amen? You've been called to freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, this is the good news of the cross this morning, that we're not only forgiven. You're not only forgiven of your sins, but you can be free from your sins in Jesus' name. You can be free from the guilt that's tormenting you. You can be free of the shame. You can be free of those addictions, those wrong habits. You can be free in Jesus if you just take these beliefs and live them out every day. And for me, this is the beauty of these covenant realities, that now I can live from victory, not for victory. I can live from victory, not for it, because I've been raised with Christ into a new life. You have been raised with him into a new life. Therefore, victory is yours. The Bible says you have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Just close your eyes. Just think of that. Imagine that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Holy Spirit, give us a picture of this truth, that we are seated with you. God, I pray that you will give us a revelation that we have got victory from that place. That we reign from that place where we're seated with you. We're not only earthlings that is here to suffer and to endure time. No, no, no. We are here to make your kingdom come. Because we are seated above. Seated above with you in the higher realms. And so this morning, you can open your eyes this morning if you are here and you are maybe still struggling with sin in your life. You've got that habit which you just cannot break. That secret thing of masturbation which you're still struggling with and it's robbing you of your joy and your peace in God. And you feel so bad when you've done any of those things. I want to say to you, we are not here to condemn you in any way. This morning, I'm only here to give you hope. This morning, I'm only here to encourage you. Please pursue the freedom which is there available for you in Jesus. He shed His blood for you so that you can get out of that struggle. So you can get out of that struggle. And for many of us, that is a short journey. For others, it's a journey of deliverance and of counseling of things. But whatever journey you're on, please pursue that. Please pursue that. Because Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. And guys, last of all, I'm going to say this. Living on the right side of the cross comes by identifying with what Jesus has done for you. His death has become your death. His burial has become yours, burial. And His resurrection has become your resurrection. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we honor you in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for the good news of the cross. Thank you for what you have done for us, God. Thank you for who you are, God. This morning we've sang of you, God, and words. We don't have enough words to describe the greatness of our God. Lord, this morning we just give you our hearts and we thank you for what you've done. And we thank you for who you are. And Lord, this morning I pray for us as believers, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to walk this week in these resurrection realities. That we are not only free from sin, God, but we can live forgiven of sin, but we can live free from sin. Lord, I pray and ask that you will let us to live and to move and to breathe this week from a place of righteousness in you. That we will see that we are accepted by you, Father. And that we will still the lies of the enemy that wants to keep us down, defeated and worthless. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us a revelation of your righteousness within us. Lord, this morning I ask that you will help us to live and move and to breathe from a place of fullness and of newness in you, God. Reveal to us, Lord God, that all things have become new. Behold, all things have become new. Speak to us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Walk with us as we teach us what it means to live in the newness of the cross. And Father, lastly, I ask that you will help us to live and to move and to breathe, God, from a place of power. A place of power, God, with you. God, you said that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you and will raise up your mortal bodies. God, I release that Spirit over you, over your people this morning. And I declare freedom, God. Freedom and life in Jesus over your people. Help us to live with power. Help us to live in this glory. Help us to live in righteousness as you see us in the name of Jesus. And this morning, as every eye is closed, I wanted to ask you as a church. Maybe you are here this morning and you are not right with God. You have heard of the glories of Jesus and what He's done for you, but you are not in right standing with Him. Then I want to give you an opportunity this morning to say, Yaku, but I want to have all these realities of my life being changed by the glory of the cross. And I want to tell you this morning that the Bible says that though that God is not here to judge, God is here to save and to rescue those who are looking for Him. And the reason you are here this morning visiting with us is because you are looking for a real God. You are looking for a personal God. And this morning I want to tell you His name is Jesus. He walked in all of our lives and He made a difference. His cross transformed us from the old into the new. And I want to ask you this morning, are you right with your Maker this morning? And if you're not, I want to ask you very quickly between you and me, all the eyes closed, just to raise your hand. It's a sign of acknowledgement that you want to make right with God. Because God's hearts break for you. He doesn't want you to be unrighteous. He doesn't want you to be separate from Him through your sins. He wants you close in fellowship with you. The last time, are there anyone here that maybe have backslidden? Your love has grown cold for Jesus and you want to come back. Just raise your hand.
Anyone. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You open your eyes. All of us are fine this morning. And then I want to talk to you as believers, and I want to ask you, maybe there are maybe many of you that has recognized and related to the cross of Jesus for forgiveness of sins, but you've never walked in these resurrection realities which I've spoken about. Then I ask you this morning, you need to act as well. Faith is not silent. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. And all you have to do this morning, like I said earlier, you need to change your belief system. You need to act upon the unction in your heart this morning. Maybe that means for you to come to the front so we can pray and agree with this change that you want to make. Or maybe this is you just praying there. So I want to give you just a moment for you just to respond to that. If you want to step out of the wrong side into the right side. But not only recognize the cross for the forgiveness of it, but for the freedom. And with that, if you are struggling with sins, if you are a solid believer and you're struggling with habits which you cannot break, there's a grace this morning for the resurrecting power of God to break that in your life. So I want you, when the altar call comes, please come to the front. We'll pray with you in privacy, and we'll see the Lord doing amazing things. Then last of all, before we go, I've asked a couple of the people just to come and share with us words of knowledge. Naomi, you can also come. Just come and stand. We want to share words of knowledge that God wants to meet some people. We don't preach the gospel. We demonstrate the gospel, okay? So we want to call out these words. Can the team come? Come by faith. If you don't have one, just come by faith. God will speak. We just want to share a few words. And if that is you, we want also just to show us by a raise of hands. And then we're done. You come forward and we're going to pray with you. And we trust God to really do an awesome work in your life. So this morning, I want to start off. Just stand here, guys, so I can give the mic to you. I'm going to start off. The Lord has shown me that there's, I've got to with the whole time, there's pain in people's bodies. You know, unbearable pain. So if there are any pain in your body in any way, we want to pray with you. But I especially have felt there's somebody with pain in their scapula, the upper shoulder area. I don't know which side. Maybe it was through an accident, but your scapula or movement is restricted in your shoulders. Who is that? Maybe can you show us? Any pain in your shoulder area? There's one, there's two, there's three. Thank you, Lord. There's four at the back. So we're going to pray with you at the end. So please come when we call you. Then I also saw swelling in people's limbs. And I especially saw swelling of the lower calf area. Swelling, which is not normal. It is pain involved, loss of blood flow, swelling of limbs. That doesn't have to be in the legs only. If you know somebody that is not here, you can send proxy for them as well. Any swelling of limbs. Okay, we just leave it there. The last one I saw is a left eye, which has got a loss of sight. Your vision is not the same. Anybody that's eyes are maybe not too good, that needs assistance with a brill, with glasses, especially the left eye. You, any eye? You claim any eyes? There's eye there. If you want your eyes improved, come. We're going to pray for eyes to be improved, okay? Let's start here.
I just felt the Lord said lower back, immense pain in your lower back, and then deafness in the right ear.
A back and a left and an ear. Any ears and backs? No backs and ears. There's one there.
I actually had a picture of a stomach being in constant pain, agony, and constant. You can't digest your food properly. You've got problem with your bowels and your colon. Yeah. That's the picture I got. Anybody like that?
I just really confirmed left eye sight through the whole service. Every time I closed my eyes, I actually kept seeing a picture of a left eye. And just really believe maybe cataracts, maybe I saw the lens detached. And then also I saw a picture of the whole New Age third eye. And I believe there's some people that you've been caught up in that whole New Age, the whole wrong perspective of understanding, and God wants to open your eyes today. He doesn't want you to try and see things in the natural through the universe, but He wants to open your eyes through His Spirit so that you can begin to see in truth. Anybody relating to that?
I only had one thing, and I saw a spine that was an S shape.
So anybody with a spine, it's scoliosis, yes.
Hey, you guys. I just have to get into agreement with Yaku. Since this morning, since you actually asked, I've also had a problem getting movement in my right shoulder, which attributes to some form of operation in the neck, top of the shoulder that is... It was fixed at one stage. It felt like it was done, but there's definitely an increase of pain and limited movement in that, and that is affecting the whole one side of the body. And it's also, if you feel that your body is retaining waters, it feels like you're swelling up a little bit, and God really wants to heal that. If you feel that there's anything that is not natural, Daddy God is here now to heal that. So I just come into agreement with what Yaku's also saw.
Morning, guys. Just something that's really been on my heart this week is the word uncertainty. If you're living with incredible uncertainty in your life, and especially in the times that we're living, what's happening around us, there are so many people that are so worried about their future, and there's just immense uncertainty. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my business? Should I immigrate to Australia? Should I go to Canada? Stay in South Africa? But if you're living with incredible uncertainty, please let us pray for you.
Guys, we're going to wrap it up. It seems like most of you are healed, so we're going to ask you to go and drink some coffee and some teas. No, I'm joking. If I want to thank you for your ears, your time. Have a wonderful day. But if you've heard any of these words of knowledge and it's you or you know of people, please come to the front. We will pray with you and we will trust God that He will intervene into your life. God, I bless you and I say thank you for coming. Have a wonderful day. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.